to have those sins, isn't it, Tim? Praise the Lord. All right, under the blood. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our young people up to junior church, those that are awake, I guess. And so they can go on up to junior church. And then I'm going to ask Brother Patterson to come up and to preach for us. Again, no strangers to our church under this pulpit. And I guess he is a stranger to this pulpit. It is. That's right.
That's a new pulpit.
I got
one to fit me.
That's the one. That's right.
Nice and wide.
Lord bless you, brother. You preach.
You almost disappear behind this thing. I see your head and your shoulder, but that's about it, brother. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. It is good to. It is good to be here. I was thinking earlier. Boy, that's a good song, Under the Blood, brother. That's a good song. I was thinking you were asking them to raise their hands. Well, I'll go give a testimony, brother. When I was in New Guinea preaching, we had a number of, we had over 1,000 people out to one week of meetings up in the mountains. We had a number of different tribes that came in from two or three valleys over. Some of them people walked 3 days to get there. The last day of the meetings, I forget how many we had saved. We had over 120 saved, 125, I think. Trust of Christ, or 123, something like that, that week alone up in the mountains. And what we would do is we would have people in the congregation that were the counselors. And when we give an invitation for salvation, if somebody would raise their hand, one of the counselors would get up and they would go back to the people and they would take them out and they would lead them to the Lord or whatever the thing we use for salvation. And the last night, man, we ran out of counselors. You know, we had so many people getting saved that last day. And there was a fellow, I don't know how many people come forward already. And then we gave another invitation. We had over 160 people at the altar on their face before God, just pouring their heart out before God, And I'm working with the national pastors, and I think the interpreter was with me. The one missionary was with me was out with somebody else, and one of the national pastors, his name was Moses, Pastor Moses, and he didn't split the water, amen, but the Pastor Moses, he's not that old either, but he was standing up here beside me, and there was a fellow, I think the last guy in the tabernacle we had built in the back, the farthest back as you could go, he's sitting out by the end of the tabernacle, and I see him put up his hand, and he's saying something. I don't know what he's saying. He was talking, and I'm saying, somebody please go back and take that fellow out and lead him to the Lord. And like that, and the pastor comes up, and Pastor Moses says, Brother Mike, he's saying, there's an airplane up there. There's an airplane up there. I said, somebody lead him to the Lord anyway, amen. So I'm sort of like, yes, I see that hand, amen. The book of Psalms in the chapter 51. I have a journal on that trip out in my trailer that I kept. I did not put that in the journal, amen. I probably ought to, but Psalm in chapter 51 with me this morning. If you would stand with me, please. And I want to begin reading in verse 1 through verse 7. We've heard a lot preached over the years in verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12 and in verse 16 down to the end of the chapter. But I want to look at verses 1 through verse 7 this morning. He makes a statement as we begin that's written this way. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Father, thank you for your precious word this morning and the privilege, God, that we have to come to it, and the privilege, Father, that we have in this country to open it up and to read it, Father, and then the privilege we have to apply it to our lives. And Father, I would pray that if there's someone in our presence this morning who knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you would touch that heart, Father, that they would be obedient unto the gospel, that they'd be obedient to your Holy Spirit, obedient to your word, Father, and today that they would confess their sin and call upon you to forgive them for their sin, for what Jesus Christ has done for them upon the cross of Calvary, through his shed blood, through his burial, through his death, through his resurrection, Father. And help this morning, Father, we pray. Help me, Father, as I preach your word. God, I need your strength. In Jesus' precious name, we'll give you the praise and the thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Simply, if you were going to put a title to this message, I think I wrote somewhere one time, I didn't write it in this Bible, but somewhere one time, just simply sin. Sin. On the top of my paper, or on the top of my margin, on my old Bible, I think I have out in the trailer. And I want to preach on this subject this morning for a few moments. I want to look at verse 1 through 3 as we begin. There's three things that you must recognize, three things that you must admit, three things in these few verses, these seven verses, that you must acknowledge as an individual, as a person who needs to be saved, or as a person who is saved sometimes. We still need to acknowledge these three things in our Christian life, or if you're not a Christian yet, that you would acknowledge them, that you would become a Christian, that you would admit to God and call upon Him for your forgiveness for sin. As we begin, look what he says in verse 1 through verse 3 with me just for a moment. The first thing I want you to see is, number one, you must acknowledge that you sin. You must acknowledge that you have sinned. You must come to that place in your life where you acknowledge that I am a sinner. He makes a statement here. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my," what David says, "my personal, my transgressions." It's interesting, the word transgression literally means to revolt. To revolt, R-E-V-O-L-T. It means to rebel against. If anybody knows about rebellion, it's the people in the United States of America, amen. We were born in rebellion, and we have rebelled ever since, have we not? And I think we'll continue to rebel until the day that we die. But the word transgression means to rebel against a holy God. It means to step over the line that God has drawn for us in His Word. You ever play that game when you were growing up? You draw the line on the ground and say, "I dare you to step over this line." You know what it means? When you step over that line, you're stepping into that person's space. You're stepping into that place where you ought not to be. And if you step over that line that God has drawn for you in your life as a believer in Christ, you have stepped over a line where God says, "You're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to be back here. You're supposed to be where I want you to be. You're supposed to be living the way I have asked you to live. You're supposed to be doing what I have asked you to do." And so to revolt or to transgress means that you have stepped over that line that God has set forth in your life, that He has laid forth, that He has drawn out and said, "Do not step over that line for you." We must admit and acknowledge that we have sinned, that we are sinners, that we sin, we must admit. Remember he says in Romans 3:10? He says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's none righteous. As it is written, there is none righteous. He said in 3:23, "For all have sinned," amen, "and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. That's you, that's me, that's everybody in this room, that's everybody in this community, that's everybody in this state, that's everybody in the United States, that's everybody in every country, that's everybody all around the world. Everybody has sinned, amen. Everybody has sinned. And so he tells you and I as believers in Christ that we must acknowledge that we have sinned. He said, "Blot out my transgressions. Blot those things out when I've stepped over that line that you've drawn for me, Lord." He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin." Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. That word iniquity means to pervert. It means to make crooked. It means to do wickedly. I.e., it's the idea of a mannerism of life, a way of life that we have chosen for ourselves other than what God has set forth. And there is no excuse for that in a believer's life. You know, we've excused a lot of things when we were growing up, didn't we? He did it. Or they made me do it. Or I don't ever remember when I was a little boy saying, "Mom, I chose to do that." "Why'd you sneak out of the house?" I never said I chose to do it. I said Frank talked me into it. He was my best buddy growing up, amen. I put a lot of blame on Frank and got away with a lot of stuff because of that, amen. "Well, don't do it again, okay? Next time. How come you did this?" "Frank talked me into it, Mom. He was doing it, it looked good." Amen. I was pretty stupid as a kid, amen. Wasn't too smart. Frank got me in a lot of trouble, but I got out of a lot of excuses because of Frank. I was able to put a lot off on Frank. How come you did this? Well, Dennis, that was my little brother. Dennis did it. You know, when he couldn't talk, that was good. Once he grew up and he could lie on me, then that hurt, amen. Now, we must acknowledge that we sin. That we sin. You can't put it off on anybody else anymore. There's no excuse for sin in our lives. There's no excuse for what we do. And he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Someone once said, the only thing that you probably really own in your life, you think you own your house. It's not true. Amen. You try it until you decide to put a new railway through and see how much of your house you own. You try it until you decide to put a new Walmart in town and find out that they want to use public domain for your property in order to put that Walmart in across the street. You find out that you don't own what you think you own. You think you own your car. You might own it, you know, until you get it paid off. You don't own your car, amen. And once you get it paid off, I got sad news for you. But if they decide to stop you for something and say you've been stopped too many times, you don't own that car anymore. They can take it from you. You don't own what you think you own. But I tell you what you do own in your life is sin. You do own your own sin. Brother Merritt, I don't own your sin. You don't own my sin. Jenny, I don't own your sin. You don't own my sin. We own our own sin. You own your sin. And you must go to that place in your life where you admit that I have sinned. David says, I have sinned. Blot out my transgressions. Blot out my iniquity. Blot out my sin, Lord. We must come to that place where we admit that we are sinners. You say, but I'm saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you what. Since you've been saved, I'll guarantee you that you have sinned. And you must admit to God, God, as a Christian, there's times we have to get on our face before Holy God and say, God, I have sinned against you. God, I am wrong. God, forgive me for my sin. God, please help me, dear God, because I have sinned against a holy, righteous, pure God. David says in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression. I'm acknowledging my rebellion against you, God. I acknowledge my revolting against you. I acknowledge my stepping over that line that you have drawn for me, God. I'm acknowledging that to you. I acknowledge that, God, my transgression and my sin. Lord, my sin is ever before me. Now, let me just stop here for a moment. There's things that, I don't know, I got saved at 22. There's things that you've done before you were saved. I don't know how it is with you, but things that still come back to my mind that I did before I was saved. Now listen to this one. There's things that I have done since I have been saved. Especially as a young Christian. Things I did as a young Christian, as a newborn again babe in Christ. Things I did, Brother America, still haunt me. Even though I have confessed it. Even though I have made that right with God. But, Pastor, there's things that still come back to my mind, Pastor Rice. Even after being saved. And I must admit, my sin is ever before me. Those things I've done, those things I've said, those times I've hurt my wife, those times I've hurt my children, those times I've done things I should not do, those times I've said things to people I should not say because of anger or because of bitterness or because of something else, those things that are ever before me. And I want to tell you what, if I don't confess those things to God, they will always be before me and they will always eat at me and they will always tear me up and they'll always tear you up. And you must come to that place where you say to God, God, I have sinned. I have sinned. I don't care what you've done, but I have sinned. And that's where we have to come to in our life. We have to admit to God, God, I have sinned. We have to admit to ourselves. It's like up in Whitehall, Michigan, there's a church up there years ago. There's a couple of friends of mine, Brother Cliff Longcore, is a member of our church now. He used to go there when he was a deacon. And a fellow by the name of Paul Hepworth. Paul died about 90 years old, I think, you know, and friend of mine for a number of years, really enjoyed him. He said we were sitting in the pastor's office one day, we'd given an invitation and some people come forward to get saved, so we didn't just take them out one, we'd take a couple guys with them, and me and another guy or two other guys, maybe we're sitting in the pastor's office, you know, a couple of the deacons, and they have this 9 or 10 year old boy in the pastor's office who raised his hand for salvation. And they're sitting there and he's sitting in a chair, and Paul looks at him and he says, son, you must admit that you have sinned. And he says, I don't sin. Paul says, what do you mean you don't sin? You can't be saved if you don't sin. And the Bible says that you have sinned. I, I don't sin. You mean you never sin, you don't do anything wrong, you've never lied, you've never done, you've always obeyed when you've been asked to do something, you've never disobeyed at all. No, I don't sin. About that time, that little boy's mother walked by the church door, and it had a window in the pastor's door in the church. And Paul said, wait, your mother just went out there down the hall. He said, let me go get your mother and ask her. The little boy all of a sudden says, oh, I'm a sinner. I sin all the time. Amen. Sometimes we only acknowledge our sin when we're confronted with it. David, over in the book of Samuel, I think it was, let me look here real quick. I got it marked. I wrote it down here. 2 Samuel. You can go there if you want to just for a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And David had sinned with Bathsheba, parallel to the scripture we're talking about right now. David's dealing with his sin. And David had sinned with Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite's wife. And Nathan the prophet is sent by God to confront David. And Nathan the prophet says, I want you to know something, David. After David, it all comes out. And Nathan the prophet says, David, you saw the face of all this, the same thing that you have just done to Uriah the Hittite with his wife, the same thing is going to happen to all your wives in Israel. The same thing is going to happen. And David all of a sudden acknowledges, he says this. Watch what he says. This is going to take us to our second point, by the way. David says unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. See, sin is not just something, and remember Nathan the prophet said, thy sin has been forgiven thee. But, these things are all going to happen. And the little boy that she has is going to die. And he did. That little boy died, that baby boy died as a result of the sin that David had committed with Bathsheba. Now, it brings us to our second point. Watch what he says in verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned. Do you understand who you sin against? Do you understand who you sin against? Anytime that you do anything, you hurt those who are around you. If a man commits adultery, it's not his wife he has sinned against. It's God he has sinned against. It's God's law, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Amen.
If a man is angry in his heart, and if he's angry, and it, now it's wrong what he did to his wife, or wrong what she does to her husband, but it's wrong, amen. But it's God who you sin against. It's God's law. If it wasn't God's law, there would be no law against adultery. That's how wicked we are. If it was not God's law, we would have no idea what adultery is if it wasn't for God. We would be doing everything that is right in our own eyes. If a man, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. If a man goes out and he gets angry and somebody says something to him and he holds off and hits the guy in the face and he's a Christian, I want to tell you something. It's not that man that you sinned against. It's God that you have sinned against in your anger. And sometimes we say it's no big deal. That's how I am. I get angry. That's how I am. I got a right to get bitter. Look what they've done to me. We have to admit that what we have done is wrong, and we have to admit that we have sinned against God. We acknowledge that we have sinned, but we must acknowledge that we sin against God. You must acknowledge that you have sinned against a holy, righteous, pure God. We would not know law and understand law if it wasn't for the laws of God.
Amen.
We would not have a justice system in this country or any country, Pastor, if it wasn't for the laws of God. God sets up law. Look what it was like in the days of Noah, before the law. Before the law, one man out of the whole world, one man was just. One man was right with God. One man was holy. One man was pure. One man. One man. And God destroyed the rest because there was no law. So we must come to the point where we acknowledge that we have sinned. But we must acknowledge that we have sinned against God. That's not just for unbelievers. Well, that's believers also.
Amen.
As believers, sometimes we do things and say things and act in a mannerism that we ought not to act, do or say as Christians. And when we do, we must come before a holy God and say, God, I have sinned. And God, I have sinned against you.
We must admit and acknowledge our sin before a holy, righteous, pure, loving God. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Can I tell you this? All sin is evil. And when God sees sin in your life, you know what He's looking at? That is evil. That is wicked. That is unholy. That is impure. That's unrighteous. That's how God sees sin. So it's against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou, like this, David's admitting it to God. I want to tell you something. If David admits it or not, God's still justified. But David admits it to God. He says, God, that thou mightest be justified. And David's saying this, I know I have sinned. Here's what he's saying. And God, I deserve everything I get from you. I deserve it. Can I tell you something? I deserve eternal damnation except for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's what happened when you got saved. If you're saved, you came before God one day and you were saying to God, God, you're right and I'm wrong. You're holy and I'm not. You're a Savior and I'm the sinner. And God, forgive me for my sin. I call upon you and ask you to forgive me for my sin, O Lord. And boy, by God's grace, He saved you. Through His mercy, He saved you that you might have eternal life. You admitted to Him one day that you were a sinner that needed to be saved by His grace. So you acknowledge that you sin against the Holy God. And then you must acknowledge that you sin. You acknowledge that you sin, and you must acknowledge that you sin against the Holy God. I like what David says. He said, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. He's reminding God, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me, the rest of that verse. It doesn't mean his mother sinned. Don't mistake that. It means that you, when you were born into this world, every one of us could say, in sin my mother conceived me. Because we come into this world as a sinner. David's mother was I believe, a godly woman. David's father was a godly man. Remember, and the prophet came to him, and Samuel came, and they chose out of the line of Jesse, they chose David to be the king of Israel through God's direction. David had a godly heritage, a godly mother. David's mother did not sin when David was born, but he was born a sinner in sin. I was conceived. I came into this world a sinner. It's almost like he's reminding God. This isn't my fault. Amen. God, this is how I am. But yet, and we can all claim that.
Amen.
But yet, David says, I have sinned. And I have sinned against thee. Thee only have I sinned against. Thirdly, he says in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop. You remember the hyssop? They would take the hyssop in Israel when they were in Egypt, and they were told to dip the hyssop in the blood of that slain, perfect, unbroken lamb, the one without blemish. To dip the hyssop in that bucket of blood and put it on the doorposts, on the side and across the mantle on the top and down near the doorpost. And when God would pass by in Egypt, when He passed by, He would pass by that house with the blood on it for that perfect lamb.
Amen.
Pass by that house was children of Israel who obeyed Him. He passed by and their firstborn child did not die as a result of them passing by. The firstborn, I tell you what, if Israel brought all their cattle in, not one would not die, brother. Amen. The firstborn would not die. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. What's His blood do to us? What did that song just say a little bit ago? Washes us whiter than snow. Makes us clean. His blood, the power of the blood. We have all the songs about the blood. He'll pass by us because of the blood of Christ in our lives. When the great white throne judgment comes, you'll be standing on that. You'll be standing on the right hand throne of that. And during that judgment, you'll be standing on the right hand side of that throne. And God will be looking at the people. And you're the sheep, and all the goats are standing over on this side, on the other side. And He's going to pass, that judgment's going to pass by you. And it's going to catch every one of these over here because they have rejected Him all this morning. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. I hope you know Him as your Savior, because if you do not, my friend, He will not pass by you. So He says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me." Number one, remember, acknowledge that you sin. Number two, acknowledge that you have sinned against God. Number three, acknowledge that God is the only one that can forgive your sin. Now my wife can forgive me. My son can forgive me. My daughters can forgive me. My grandchildren can forgive me. You can forgive me. But I tell you what, God is the only one that can forgive my sin.
Amen.
He's the only one that can forgive my sin. Let me ask you a question. Your best friend ever hurt you? You still remember that? Your husband ever hurt you? Your wife ever hurt you? You still remember that? Amen. Your parents ever hurt you? You ever hurt your parents? Still remember that? Here's the difference. God does not remember it. He removes it as far as the east is from the west and places it at the bottom of the deepest sea. Never to remember our sin anymore. But I want to tell you, if there is sin in your heart as a Christian, if there is sin in your life as a Christian, and if you were to die today, when you stand before a holy God, you're going to give an answer for that sin. You're going to give an answer for Him for every word that's ever come out of your mouth. You're going to give an answer to Him for every attitude you've ever had. You're still going to heaven. But you're going to answer to God because of sin in your life as a believer in Christ. If we would just confess that and say, "My sin is ever before me," and confess that and get it over with and get on in our life as a believer in Christ and stay on that side of the line where we need to be, and don't rebel, don't revolt, don't come up against God and say, "This is my life and this is how I'm going to live it and this is what I'm going to do." And, oh, my friend, just confess that and make it right with God as a believer in Jesus Christ. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Acknowledge that He's the only one that can clean you up. I don't care how much AA you go to, or Drug Anonymous you go to, or even Gamblers Anonymous. I don't care how much of that you go to. Jesus Christ is the only one that can clean you up because of His sacrifice for you upon the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
I'm not speaking out against those organizations. They've helped a lot of people. Amen. They've helped a lot of people. Well, you know something, Brother Merritt. I was a drunk. I was a druggie. And Jesus Christ saved me and cleaned me up. Washed me and made me whiter than snow. And I know He's done that to a lot of you here in this room. Amen. Done that to a lot of you here in this room. I hope you know Him as your Savior. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.